Well, Seth, I guess you called it when you said, George, don't worry about Planet X rolling around. It never happened.
Well, I mean, look at the upside. We wouldn't be having this conversation.
Well, that's true. Well, where'd it go, Seth?
Yeah, you know, George, I've got to say that I'm pleased that you at least bring to people's attention the fact that there was a real prediction made here.
Yep.
Which is always good in science, by the way. If you think you understand something, then you can usually predict something that's going to happen.
You made the prediction.
They made the prediction that, when was this going to happen, that Planet X was going to come in and wreak havoc?
May 15th, and then it was changed by one to June 1st.
Right.
And so we waited until then, and then it didn't happen.
Yeah, well, the fact that it didn't happen actually doesn't surprise me. But I have to say that, there could be a Planet X out there. Now,
and this is important. I want everybody to hear this. This is, I've got a lot of respect for Seth, and we might not agree in everything in terms of visitations and things, but listen to what he's going to tell you right now. Go ahead, Seth.
Okay, well, what I'm going to tell you is that the idea that there might be a pretty large planet out there, and when I say out there, beyond Pluto, that's not a nutty idea. That's not impossible at all. There are a lot of big rocks, if you will, that extend out from, the orbit of Uranus or Neptune out quite some distance. It's called the Kuiper Belt,
mm-hmm.
which, sounds like it's a men's accessory or something like that.
Exactly. On sale, by the way.
Right. Kuiper Belt objects. And in fact, Pluto, there's some discussion about whether Pluto should be called a planet. Now, Pluto itself hasn't weighed in on this, but we call it a planet because when it was first found, one assumed that it was like all the other worlds of the solar system and should be called a planet, or at least the big worlds of the solar system. Now we find out that Pluto is pretty darn small, and it's probably just another one of the rocks in this Kuiper Belt.
Could it be like a huge asteroid, or is it too big for that?
Yeah, well, no, it's just, it's just an asteroid on steroids, if you will. Okay, so and it may be the biggest thing in the Kuiper Belt, but there could be something even bigger beyond Pluto. We found, actually, in the last 10 or 12 years, we found a number of these bigger rocks out there, and, they're orbiting around the sun. And there could be something even as big as the Earth. There's some indirect evidence for that that's been found recently in the motions of comets and so forth. There's some suggestion that there's a fairly big object out there that's occasionally deflecting the orbits of comets.
And where do you think this object is?
Well, that's really...
And is it considered one of our solar system objects?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little hard to say, where does the solar system end, right? You never come to a sign that says, now leaving the solar system.
Yeah, exactly.
But
because if it comes back, maybe that's still the solar system.
Well, yeah, I think that's right. Probably the way to define the solar system is to say, well, once you're halfway to the next star, you've left our solar system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Gone to their solar system. Maybe that's a very simple explanation, but more or less right.
You're now in Kansas.
Oh, you're not in Kansas anymore. That's right. You're in Nebraska. Now, this thing would be beyond Pluto, but not as far as halfway to the next star. That's, a couple of light years. It's not that far away. But there could be something out there, even the size of the Earth. I mean, it's possible. However, having said that, and there are undoubtedly, by the way, lots of smaller objects there. There are probably thousands, maybe millions of rocks that are bigger than a house beyond the orbit of Pluto that belong to our solar system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's leftover material from when the solar system was born. But even given that, I think it's extremely unlikely that any of these really big rocks routinely come into the inner part of the solar system where we are, threatening to ruin our whole day by either hitting the Earth or passing close enough to it to cause all sorts of untoward events. Because if any of these really big rocks did that, if they were in some orbit that brought them close to us,
right?
Well, that would happen on a regular basis. I mean, they would be following their orbit, and every so many thousand years, they would come to the inner solar system like a comet does.
Well, what if it is on a, I'm going to say, and there's a reason for this, which you're probably aware of, but what if it's, whatever it is, this object, is on a 3,600-year elliptical orbit?
Right.
And it goes way out there and comes way back, and every 3,600 years gets close enough to the planet to cause some kind of climatic disruption.
Well, I think you would know about that. To begin with, 3,600 years is not such a long time. I mean, that's recorded history.
Yes.
So somebody was...
Well, we had a flood.
Well, I know, you know, that history is, yes, but that history is not written down in, you know, refereed journals, but indeed. But there are a lot of other possible explanations for the flood. I'm saying that you would have seen something in the sky if it came really close enough to cause flooding or stuff like that. And that would have been written down because 3,600 years ago, people knew how to write. And they would have written it down. I'm sure they would have written it down. But my real point is something else.
Well, maybe it didn't get this that close.
Well, then it wouldn't have much effect on you.
All right. So.
But here's, I think, the important point. If you had a really big object, I mean Earth size or something like the size of Earth, and it came into the inner solar system every 3,600 years,
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the solar system is 4.5 billion years old. That means that planet X, or whatever you want to call it, has visited the inner solar system more than 1 million times.
That's true.
Okay, so... You know, if it's going to do that 1 million times, it's going to hit something. Sooner or later, it's going to hit something. And, or pass so close to one of the planets of the inner solar system that it would have disrupted their orbit, and you would find that, you know, Mercury is in a really peculiar orbit, or Earth or Mars or something. But that doesn't seem to be the case. We don't seem to have any really big intruders into our solar system on a regular basis anymore, you know, bigger than a comet. Comets are, you know, about the size of a city. They're a few miles across.
Yeah.
They're nothing like the size of the Earth. So I think on that basis, you've got to say this doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There might be big Kuiper Belt objects out there, maybe even as big as the Earth, although that would be pretty big. It would certainly, you know, blow away Pluto's claim to being the biggest. But I don't think they visit the inner solar system.
All right, now, so let me ask you this. There are works of a person you've heard of course, Zachariah Sitchin.
Mm-hmm.
Zachariah has interpreted his interpretation of Sumerian texts. In one of the books I read a long time ago that he's written, it might have been in, I think it was in the 12th planet, he writes that the tablets claim in the Sumerian texts that planet Earth was struck by another planetary size object. They collided. And I don't recall, I can't remember if the moon was made from that or not. However, recently now, astronomers such as you are saying that the moon was probably formed when a planetary size object smashed into the Earth, bounced back a little bit, smashed into it again, and kicked off what is now the moon. Now, to me, if they're saying that, and Sitchin writes about these Sumerian texts, which he interpreted years ago, and the texts are 5,000 years old. I mean, that's pretty darn close.
Well, the idea is close.
Right.
And but I think he's got the timing wrong. It's true that the best guess as to how we got our big moon is that, indeed, we suffered a catastrophic collision, if you will, by a big rock, planetary-sized rock, as you call it, and indeed it was probably the size of Mars, maybe even a little bigger than Mars.
And where do you think it might have gone? Where is it now?
It's well, part of it is, you know, part of the Earth, and part of it is the moon.
Okay, so you think that whatever that other object was...
It's self-destructed,
okay.
Yeah, oh, look, these things come in, I mean, look at how fast anything hits the Earth. It's always about the same speed. This turns out to be... you know, kind of high school physics stuff, but it always hits the Earth at about 30 miles a second. Okay, not 30 miles an hour, by the way, 30 miles a second.
That's a pretty big collision.
Yeah, that's tens of thousands of miles an hour.
Wouldn't that have knocked us out of our orbit?
Well, it probably came close. I mean, it may have altered the orbit a little bit, but the point is that a rock that comes in and hits the Earth at that speed, I mean, it's just going to pulverize everything, a lot of the Earth and, you know, a lot of that rock. And most of what happens is that, all right, you pulverize all this rock, and, you know, all this debris goes flying up into, you know, up into the atmosphere, well, flying up into space, whatever. Most of it comes right back down onto the Earth. The Earth's gravity pulls it back down. but not all of it. Some of it, you know, gets kicked up fast enough that it escapes Earth's gravity and it goes into kind of orbit around the Earth and then ultimately begins to stick to, you know, the little particles stick to one another and you get the moon.